Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for bringing together our friends and our family. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for sending your Son and His Word to us, Lord, to guide us and lead us. And Father, this morning I ask that you grant me wisdom to speak the message that you laid before me. Heavenly Father, I ask that by the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by His blood, that any spirits of confusion that would seek to hinder us from understanding your word this morning, that they be bound. Heavenly Father, I ask that in your precious name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that this morning any malicious spirit of intent to try and harm, twist, or defile your word be bound. In Jesus' precious name, these things I ask. Amen. This morning we're continuing on the series on the Holy Spirit. We've kind of taken a look in detail at the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to continue with that. We've gone through faith in healings last time, and this time we're going to talk about miracles. I've got quite a few scriptures to go through today, so we may be run a little bit late, and I ask you to forgive me up front. If you would turn with me first to John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2. Verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Turn with me to John 20. This is the same gospel. The end now. John 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So before we start with miracles, we need to look back at Jesus Christ and why signs and wonders were performed. They were to glorify his name and to help the disciples believe in him as who he said he was, and to lead others to him as God in the flesh. So signs and wonders were done. Jesus performed these to manifest his own glory and for others to believe upon him. So when we look at the scriptures around miracles, we need to keep this into context, that these miracles were done to glorify his name and for others to believe on him. If we turn now to Romans chapter 15. In verse 17. Sorry. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Elysium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You see, Paul reinforces this. You know, miracles just aren't these things that happen to keep us safe or happen to lead us out of a dark time or so. They're there to manifest the glory of Christ Jesus. They're there to reflect Christ Jesus. And when we have a miracle occur in our life and we denounce that, or we somehow push that aside, or we don't give glory to him, then we're not doing justice to the miracle. It's there as a sign and wonder to manifest Christ's glory. And as Paul says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Elysium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. These signs and wonders give us this opportunity to preach Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You see, miracles are signs of the power of our Lord here on earth. And we are to be strong in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, if we go through the passages in the New Testament and the signs and powers of the Lord that He used the disciples to do, we'll see He splits these up into miracles associated with healings and miracles associated with deliverance. You see, Jesus said when He repeated the prophecy about Him that He was there to set the captives free. And we're to carry on His work. But it's all too often that we forget. We're not alone here. We're not alone here on this planet. That there are spirits, principalities, and powers that are making war with us. Because they are in defiance of God. And that's why we're reminded here to put on the armor. And to remember to be strong in the power of His might. And multiple times here, we are to remember to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, a miracle is a sign of power. And standing against the spirits, the principalities, and the God of this world is a demonstration of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and 18. And I say to you, and I also say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. You see, the Lord gave us the authority to bind spirits that work against us, to display His power here on earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, in that last scripture I read, it talked about whatever will be bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever will be loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Second Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds to the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. You see, Satan is the god of this world right now. And in Revelation 12:10-11. I said I had a lot of scriptures. To point to today. 12:10-11. " Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. You see, Satan sets up there in heaven, accusing us and all of the others here on earth of the sins that we have committed. And he does so, and he points to the word of God. And he points back to Exodus, and he points back to Leviticus. And he says, see, here's what you say you do for your sins. This person has committed these sins. And he accuses each and every one of us and stands before God doing this. So when we bind things on earth and we loose things on earth, we do so in heaven as well. So when we go to find a soul that is being bound in sin and they don't know Jesus Christ's blood can free them from it, and we talk to them about Jesus Christ and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that blood enters their life, the accuser has to stop in heaven at that point, because that soul has been freed. It's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and is freed from the punishment and accusations of those sins. Whatever we bind on earth and loose on earth occurs in heaven. And if you can see it in your head, see Satan standing there as a prosecutor, right there next to God on the throne, saying this person did that, and this person did this. And we go and we talk to these people about Jesus Christ, and he steps up as the defense. And he says, see this blood pouring from my veins. I have enough to cover that too. That's a sign of power and authority of Jesus Christ. He can cover even those sins. You see, we're at war here. And this war goes from Hades to heaven. And we're here in the middle. Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now we've talked already about healings. We're going to focus in on this power over demons. Turn with me to Acts 8. In verse 4. For those who were they went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And those miracles are for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. You see, we tend to think, oh, these miracles happen, and we focus in on those things like, oh, safe from getting in a car wreck. Yeah, that's the divine hand of God at work. Well, we downplay the miracles that we were sent to go out there and do, which was deliver people from these unclean spirits that are holding them in oppression to display Christ's power and ultimate authority. Ends. Acts 13. Began verse 6. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Jesus, who was with the pre-council, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called Barnabas Saul. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, sorcerer, for his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the pre-council away from the faith. You see, we fight not against just flesh, but spirits and principalities. And when Paul and Barnabas were brought before Sergius here, a sorcerer withstood them. stop them from proclaiming the faith to the pre-council and turn them away. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, do you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by hand. Then the pre-council believed when he saw that what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. We focus a lot on preaching the love of Jesus Christ. Yes, he loved us enough. That he took the beating, the hatred of man, but also enough that he took the punishment for our sins. All of these things aren't soft. These are hard things. These are painful things. It wasn't easy for him. It's not always easy for us. Sometimes when we're speaking to someone about Jesus Christ, it isn't an easy, soft thing. Sometimes the spirits decide to kick it up and may use others or even themselves. And those that have been given the gift of miracles of the Holy Spirit, these aren't always miracles like we think of them. Paul cursed this man to be blind. That's the power of our God. Acts 19. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You see, Paul was out delivering people from the bondage of these spirits, leading them to Christ so that the blood would cover them. And while he was out doing this, people started to take notice, and they saw power. In verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." You see, the spirits recognize power. And they sought to use these Jewish exorcists to countermine what Paul was doing. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus, I know, Paul, but who are you?" The man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on him, overpowered him, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to both all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You see, the spirits tried to use this to countermine the authority of God. Maybe if we take these exorcists that don't really believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we convince them that it's just the name that you have to utter, just like some special abracadabra, and spirits will obey. Hey, if we can convince them to do that, we know there's no authority behind that because they don't believe in Him as Lord. We'll discount that power. We'll try and show that name Jesus doesn't mean anything. But that's not what happened. See, when these spirits overthrew this group of exorcists who didn't really believe and beat them and drove them out naked, what they did is they revealed their identity to people around them that may have just been clouded, veiled. See, there are many people out there that practice witchcraft today. And they practice it because they think it's fun. They don't really understand it. They think, oh, okay, this is nice and neat, it's on TV. But they haven't seen a demon yet. They haven't seen that spirit stare them down in the eyes, give them a glimpse of what hell really looks like. And as soon as they see it, it makes them think second thoughts about what they're doing. Is this really what I want to be a part of? And that's what happened there. Hey, if this stuff is real, if there's really a demon that can jump over, beat up these seven men, drive them out of the house naked, I'm here reading these books on the side about magic. I don't want a part of this. If that stuff exists, then there must be a God. And that leads them to Christ too. And it manifests Christ's glory. And they started confessing their sins. And even though these spirits had a different thought altogether, it brought about a conversion. It brought about a change. It brought people to their knees. And they burned 50,000 silver pieces worth of books. That's a lot of books on witchcraft and sorcery. And that says they believed. And the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So God can even use imitators to reveal the authority of Christ. Turn with me to Mark. You see, these exorcists tried to call on the name of Jesus as if he was some spirit, not as their Lord. That's why they had no power in that situation over the spirit. The spirit knew Jesus and he knew Paul, but didn't know who they were. Mark 9:38. Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus says, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." You see, even though this person that wasn't following around with the disciples or so forth, wasn't wanting to join up and tag along with them, even though he didn't want to do this, he was still recognized Jesus as Lord. And he was casting out spirits in Jesus' name. And Jesus was aware of this and said, just because they aren't following our little group around as we travel doesn't mean that this person doesn't know who I am. It doesn't mean that this person doesn't know that I'm Lord. It doesn't mean that this person hasn't been granted the authority to cast out demons. And he goes even further to say, if they're not with us, then they're against us. That's a dividing line. It's the way the word of the Lord is. Cuts like a sword. Can't set on that blade. And when the word comes down, you're either with Jesus Christ or you're against him. First Corinthians 12, verse 3. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We're to test spirits. We're to test each other. We're to test the scriptures that we hear. If any of you would like the scriptures that I read, I have lists, I can give them to you. I encourage you, go back, read this stuff. If you're confronted with a situation where you don't know what's working for you or against you, there's one dividing line. You see, many religions believe in God. And the Bible says even the spirits and demons believe in God and tremble at his name. What's that dividing line? It isn't whether or not there's a God or not. Many believe that if I do good works, I'm a good person. I'll be able to go to heaven. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a dividing line. Where is that line? The line's this very simple test. Do they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior or not? You see, that's the difference with the spirits. They know God exists. They rebelled against him. They don't accept the authority over him as Lord. There are people out there that are veiled from the truth by spirits that are trying to confuse them, that their sins somehow can never be forgiven. Whatever they did was too heinous, too bad. There's no way God can forgive me for that. How can a Lord with all authority, all power to forgive sins and cover sins, not be able to forgive and cover their sins? If they really think they're Lord, think he's Lord. It's the dividing line. If you're talking with somebody and you mention the name Jesus Christ and ask them what they think about him, you'll find out right away where they sit on that line. Because no one that believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can accurse his name. That's what the scriptures just said. And the scripture said, you're either with us or against us. I know it was a hard message coming into the Christmas season. But you're coming into the Christmas season where you're going to be around all sorts of family members and friends. Is this a season to get together and enjoy company, presents, gifts, and that's all that stands in their mind? Or is this a season to be thankful for Jesus Christ coming to this earth as our Lord and Savior? This is a wonderful opportunity to sit down and talk with people that we don't see that often. Find out, what do they really believe about Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for giving us guidance, Lord. I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads and directs us. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for using us in your will, Lord, for making us a part of your master plan. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for those of us that you've sent to the front lines to be the soldiers, to fight right there at the gates of hell. Lord, I want to thank you for those that you've put behind us to pray and support and exercise the gifts of faith, that your will prevail. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for those that you've granted wisdom and knowledge to understand. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for those that you've given a gift of discernment to see what spirits may be about. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for those that can speak in tongues, for others to hear your message. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for those that can interpret your word. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the gifts of prophecy to speak your will. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these gifts that you grant through the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, I ask that you grant us boldness to go forth, willingness to draw the sword of your word and thrust it forward to challenge the gates of hell. But most of all, I want to thank you for your blood spilt by your Son, Jesus Christ. A blood that can cover sins. A blood that can deliver the captives. A blood that will always be sufficient. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these things. We glorify you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you granted authority above all things, even death. In his precious name, amen.